Well, this morning we're going to be taking a look at Psalm 2. And Psalm 2 is, of course, the second psalm in the book of Psalms. Wow, that's a profound insight right there. But really, I said on Friday that Psalm 1 was not just the first psalm, but it really does introduce and set up the theme for all the psalms. And really, Psalms 1 and 2 are sort of together, and they together set out basically all the themes that are going to be dealt with in the psalms. And in Psalm 2, we get a clearer picture of the Messiah, even clearer than the fact that he is the fulfillment of Psalm 1. And we also get a clear understanding of the nations and their opposition to God. So this is all to get some perspective. Like, the news is dominated by COVID-19 coronavirus, but that's not all that's going on in the world. God is at work in the world to advance his kingdom, to exalt the Lord Jesus Christ, to spread his gospel, to bless his people. And this is all unfolding according to the promises made in Psalm 2. So let's walk through Psalm 2 together. It's 12 verses long, fits nicely into four sections of three verses each. So let's just read through it, and then we'll come back and make some comments, a couple brief comments on each section. Psalm 2, this is the word of God. Why do the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, "Let us burst their bonds apart and cast away their cords from us." He who sits in the heavens laughs. The Lord holds them in derision. Then he will speak to them in his wrath and terrify them in his fury, saying, "As for me, I have set my king on Zion, my holy hill. I will tell of the decree. The Lord said to me, 'You are my son. Today I have begotten you. Ask of me, and I will make the nations your heritage, and the ends of the earth your possession. You shall break them with a rod of iron and dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel.' Now therefore, O kings, be wise. Be warned, O rulers of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and you perish in the way. For his wrath is quickly kindled. Blessed are all who take refuge in him." So here back in the first stanza, we have a question being asked, and that is, why does the world hate God, right? We live in the reality of a fallen world that hates God. And I don't know if you've seen some of the same things that I've seen on social media, but people have taken COVID-19, coronavirus, as yet another opportunity to lash out in anger at the God they claim to not believe in. It reminds me of Doug Wilson's little quip that modern atheism has two main tenets to its belief system. One is, there is no God, and two is, I hate him, right? There is no God, and I hate him. And so that's the world we live in. Like, people say, oh, God, you know, why did he send this coronavirus, this God that you believe in? Why would you believe in a God who's going to send this coronavirus? Well, why are you so angry at a God you claim not to believe in? And it's the world we live in. Why do they rage? Well, Psalm 2, verses 1 to 3 tells us why the world hates God, and that's because they resent his rule. They want to be free from his dominion. We want to be our own Lord and Master. We want to rule our own lives. And so the world wants to be free from the reign of God. God's response to the raging of the world is first laughter. We have to realize that God is not threatened by the atheists and the scoffers and the mockers in the world. God's first response to the raging of the nations is simply laughter. What do they think they're going to do to God by refusing to believe in him, right? It reminds me of something G.K. Chesterton wrote in Orthodoxy. Basically, trying to disbelieve in God, right? Trying to make God not exist by your disbelief is like a lunatic in a cell who's trying to put out the sun by writing darkness on the walls of his cell. It's an exercise in futility. God is on his throne and God is in control. So then God makes a promise. He responds not only with laughter, but then with derision, which is more of a judgment word, and then wrath, which is a more intense judgment word, and then fury, which is an even more intense judgment word. So God doesn't just laugh at the disbelief and the raging of the nations. God responds in judgment. And part of his judgment is this decree. As for me, he says, I have set my king on Zion, my holy hill. And of course, that king that he set on Zion, his holy hill, is the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, this is now Jesus speaking in this third stanza, I will tell of the decree. The Lord said to me, you are my son. There's your cue that this third stanza is the voice of Jesus. I will tell of the decree. The Lord said to me, you are my son. Today I have begotten you. Ask of me, and I will make the nations your heritage and the ends of the earth your possession. You shall break them with a rod of iron and dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. You know, we're used to pictures of Jesus as meek and mild and loving and kind and compassionate, and he is certainly all of those things. He is very tender and very compassionate and very patient and very merciful. But he is also the king who is on his throne and who rules over the nations and who judges the rebellion of the nations. And so sometimes God just has to do a little thing like coronavirus to show the world his power and bring the world to its knees. This is not a hard thing for the Lord God to do or to undo. And if he does it according to his good pleasure, and we need to accept it, and we need to give thanks to him in the midst of it. One thing God is doing, I don't know all that God's doing in coronavirus, I'm not God, I can't give you those answers, but I think one thing we know God is doing is he's showing his power, and he is bringing the nations which are in rebellion against him. Make no mistake about it. When the United Nations meets in New York City, they do not open with the Lord's Prayer. They do not have scripture readings. They do not acknowledge King Jesus. They are in rebellion against God. And one thing God is doing is with a little thing, he can bring the world to its knees and the great world economy to a halt because he is God Almighty. But that's not where the psalm ends. The psalm ends with a gracious invitation. The gracious invitation is this. That's just an allergy cough, by the way. The gracious invitation is this. Now, therefore, O kings, be wise. Be warned, O rulers of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. This, to me, is one of my favorite phrases in the Bible. How can we rejoice with trembling? Because God is gracious and powerful, because God is holy and merciful. We tremble before him because he is powerful and holy, but we rejoice before him because he is gracious and merciful. We can rejoice with trembling when we kiss the Son. This is to offer religious homage, worship, devotion to the Son of God, to Jesus Christ. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and you perish in the way, for his wrath is quickly kindled. Blessed are all who take refuge in him. So the last word of Psalm 2 is a word of blessing, just as the first word of Psalm 1 was a word of blessing. Psalm 1 began with, blessed is the man. And the end of Psalm 2 is, blessed are all. Blessed are all who take refuge in him, that is in Jesus. Kiss the Son. Blessed are all who take refuge in him. And whatever else we might say, I hope today you can say that you are taking refuge in Jesus at this time. He is our only refuge. He is our only hope. He is our only help. We kiss him. We love him. We give him glory and honor that he is due. And he saves us from ourselves. and from an eternity of separation from him. And he blesses us with an eternity of fellowship with him. Let's turn to him in prayer. Father, we thank you for the gift of life that is ours in your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you for this last line of Psalm 2, that blessed are all who take refuge in him, who take refuge in your Son, whom you have set on your throne over all the nations. 150 plus nations have now active cases of coronavirus. But Lord Jesus, you are Lord over all of the nations. You rule and reign over them all, whether they acknowledge you or not. And you will receive them all as your inheritance, as your Father has promised you here in Psalm 2. So Heavenly Father, we look to you and we pray this morning for our healthcare workers who are on the front lines, who are serving us with long, difficult, tiring hours of service, who are missing their families, who are facing extra risk. Most of us are hiding from COVID-19 and coronavirus by practicing this social distancing and self-quarantining, but they're out there in the hospitals on the front lines being exposed and treating. Of course, they're taking precautions and being wise, but Father, we pray that you would protect them, and we pray that you would strengthen them, and we pray that you would use them to bring this virus under control and protect our population. We pray for the vulnerable among us, for those with serious underlying health conditions. A couple of dear friends of mine have diabetes, and this is a very serious threat to them. I pray for your protection on them. We pray for your protection on the elderly, particularly those who have weakened immune systems. We pray that you would be gracious to them. We pray for your church. Father, as many churches met via live stream for the first time yesterday, we pray that your church would be strengthened, that your people would be deepened in their faith in you and in their dependence upon you. We pray that the gospel would be spread, Father, that people would be more open to hearing the truth about Christ and of resurrection and of salvation and of life beyond death, even as they are facing this virus. Father, we pray for Reaching Africa's Unreached in northern Uganda, as they are facing some added pressure now, as President Museveni has closed the borders of Uganda and people are starting to panic. Father, we pray for the people of Uganda not to panic, but Father, to trust in you. And we pray for your protection to be around the Reaching Africa's Unreached compound there in northern Uganda, that people would not do anything foolish, and that you would protect and bless and keep your servants, Jacob and Carol Lee. Father, we look to you. We trust you. We love you. We thank you that in Jesus Christ we have a salvation that nothing in this world can ever touch, that we are safe and secure in your hands, for we have taken refuge in the Son of God, and so we are eternally blessed. And we thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.